Hey, welcome to Guitar Knobs, the guitars, gear, noise, and nonsense podcast, hosted today by
these knobs.
Tony Dudzik, Pick Guardian.
Jared Brandon's not with us. He's living, but he is in the process of moving his home. He's always got something going on.
I think it's his wife texting and it's
I
on his phone.
It
I think so. I think
be.
So. We're going to have Dateline out here.
Play. But hey, everybody, it's me, Todd. I'm like, welcome to the Guitar Dubs podcast. We are thrilled to death that you are listening to our show, the Guitar Knobs. What do we do here for anybody who might be new? We always get new people, which I love.
I love new people.
What do, Tony?
We like to talk about gear, specifically boutique gear. Even more specifically, we like to talk to the makers of this boutique gear.
Yes.
And that's things like amps and guitars and pedals and accessories and all the good stuff.
All the things.
Sometimes we have these 101s where we learn about something very specific.
We've had several of them in the past and more to come.
More to come.
Yeah.
And sometimes we have movers and shakers in the industry.
Yep.
We've had some really cool guests so far this year.
Yes, yes, indeed. A diverse range of guests. And speaking of guests, who we've also this is a repeat performance because there's a lot of new things happening aside from metal stamping in the background.
Stop assembling the amps.
I hope that's not too loud.
Well, we did mention it, so that okay.
Right,
hey, special guest, announce yourself.
Charles Henry from Silktone Amps.
Silktone Amps. And people are being like, man, Silktone Amps, you just had them on, like, I don't know, it was probably like
5 years
30
ago.
30 episodes ago or something like that. But right. You just had them on comparatively to the rest of the 270. Yes, all new people, 270 at this point are live. Can you believe that?
Wow.
It's incredible. But back to my query.
That's 3/4 of the way around a circle.
Uh-huh.
It's 270.
Thank you. Someone might be saying, why Silktone again? Come on.
I know why.
Because there's a lot going on. That's why.
Because I'm so funny, I thought, is what you said when you tried to get me on here.
Caught red-handed. No, we're really fortunate because in our lovely hand is a Silktone Fuzz. Mm-hmm. And aside from this, he's got a lot going on and some really cool updates and stuff. So we thought with all the buzz of the fuzz out in the guitar universe, we ought to be talking with him again. And we're happy to do so. His first episode was pretty, pretty great. Do you recall that? Do you recall how great that was, Charles?
Oh, yeah. I think about it often.
Yes.
I think it was like just
we're going
under
to all
a year
lie
ago.
A lot on
it
this
was
episode.
So great he blacked out.
Yeah. So that was episode 223.
223.
So I was about right. That's like 50 episodes ago.
Well, not quite.
Almost 47.
47
I'm
to be
good
exact.
At math.
I think
as long
you
as
said
it's adding 30? And subtracting. 30? You do I have to go back and review the tape? Damn it.
Yeah, rewind.
Let's
well,
it.
We're really...
It's cool. It fits in with all the lying.
We're really excited. And Tony and I are probably a little bit punchy because it's been like 100 degrees out here. We've had rolling blackouts, power outages, and crazy storms.
God.
Yeah.
Is it normal to be 100 degrees out there, or is that why you have a bunch of rolling blackouts? Because it gets to like 110 here, and, you know, our power's fine.
Yeah. There was a lot of different situations happening, and we get some pretty gnarly storms out here.
Lately we've had some bad ones. But that's exceptionally hot for this time of the year. This is still June. We usually don't see that till much later in summer.
Wow. Right. So, anyhow, it's been very interesting, but onward with the show, as they say. We got a couple of announcements real quick. We need to thank... All right. For doing such a great job of helping us out.
Yes.
With our lovely gear. And they've got so many new products out right now. I'm in constant conversation.
It's crazy. I went to the website.
Friend down there.
There's stuff. There's stuff all over.
Yeah, and it's not just for podcasting. Of course, it's for all music needs and content creators. That's where their big focus is right now. Like almost everything they're doing is expressly for content creators. And that doesn't have to mean you have a small show like ours, or a medium or a big one. It can be, hey, I like recording my stuff for posterity in my house, or I like sharing it on the internet. I like doing demos or whatever it might be.
Right.
So visit Rode to find all the new spanky stuff that they've got. Also, we always love getting new patrons.
We do?
We do. We have a new executive producer.
Oh.
Yes. The name is Stuart George, which is the most UK-ish name I can think of, unless it was Williamsfordshire after that or something like that. He says, Prynhawndanabs, he's from Wales, just signed up as a sign of my appreciation for the show.
Appreciation.
Yes. The podcast has been a genuine tonic over the last few years, and you bring me lots of joy. What a lovely line that is. That's going to be it. We're going to put that on our wall.
I think I'm more of a gin guy.
Yeah. Keep up the good work, Hjulfar, which is good day.
That's a Rolling Stones song.
Yeah, it might be.
Hjulfar. Anyways,
so I have a message for Stuart. You ready?
Go.
Prynhawnda, Stuart. Llonga fathira. Croesui guitar knobs, telu. Idira sals and spaceled. Jared Brandon, hoffy vastaken wadled. Mine through Yalgani, Tony Baloney. Mygani, Bonima. That's my message to Stuart.
Wow. Can you decode that for us?
I hope he likes it. I'm not. It's a mystery. But he'll get it. And anybody else listening in Wales is spitting their ale out right now in amazement. How did he do that? How did he do that?
Called yeah. Google Translate.
Oh my gosh. I spent a lot of time on that. Yeah, it was that, you know, I spent a really stupid amount of time on that. But anyways, it was worth it because we like you out there, Stuart, and we really appreciate that you sent us that lovely little note. Onward and upwards from there, we need to find out what's going on in our music worlds this week. Starting with Tanya Bolanski, then we're going to talk to our friend Charles Henry and the Dancing Mustaches.
Ah, ooh, I like that band.
Okay.
Well, he has two first names, mm-hmm. a first and last name, yeah. Both first names. So,
does Stuart maybe George.
Maybe he's from Wales,
too. Are you
too.
Welsh, Charles?
I've been to Wales. I was actually going to ask, have you guys been? Because I miss the Bap sandwiches.
I was in Wales years ago in Swansea, and we went along the Gower Coast, and I loved it. We ended up in Cardiff and a couple of other places in betwixt.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Yeah, we stayed in Prestatyn at a little beach hotel, and it was super nice.
Yeah. Tony left his Prestatyn on the nightstand. Anyway, I don't know what it is.
Oh, wait a minute. Actually, Tony, no, I was wrong. I was wrong. The Gower Coast was, we took the ferry from Swansea into Cork, Ireland.
Wow.
And went along the Gower Coast, which is the southwest coast.
Right.
So apologies to all the Welsh.
Okay.
Anyhow,
say it.
What's going on and what happened in my musical world this week, in between power and internet outages and sweating and starting my generator.
Mm-hmm.
I have like Popeye arms now from pulling the pull start on my generator.
Awesome.
It's always good, at least from one hand. This past weekend, I had a chance to go up to Youngstown to visit my friend Pat at Coop Guitars, and he's finishing up my Meteor project, the finish work at least on it. And just to refresh memories, this is a body that I got and a neck, and I decided to do it in shell pink. So it's a shell pink body with a matching headstock. It's coming out really nice. He's finishing it up. He's going to bring it down either this weekend or for the guitar show here the following weekend. So I'll be able to start putting that one back together. So that's the big exciting week I've had.
That's fantastic.
Yes, it's always fun to have a new project.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Charles, how about yourself?
Just my personal music world?
Yeah, man.
I recently checked out that Boss Space Echo thing, the little pedal, but it made me just want to get a real one. So
like a real old one or the kind of reissue one?
No, an old one from the 70s. And I found one in really good condition, and I direct sent it to my friend Brian Sowers because he's like the Space Echo guy in America.
Mm-hmm.
And he's taking a little while to fix it.
Oops.
Yeah, well, maybe he's backed up.
Hopefully it's done by the time this episode launches. If not, I'll just give him a bunch of crap about it.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool. So you did try out the pedal version? And
it's cool, yeah.
Good. I mean, yeah. I've been hearing a lot of good things about it, especially the bigger pedal, not the...
Yeah, that's the one we grabbed, yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, it's.
You tried the compact version?
No.
I think the bigger one is the way to go.
Well, if you can, yeah.
I think it's supposed to be the same stuff. It's just a few more features, but as far as the sound quality and everything, I think they're supposed to be pretty similar from what I've heard.
Yeah, I just think with the larger one, you get basically all the controls that are on the original tape echo.
Yeah,
and that kind of is a good. Direct translation.
Exactly. That's what made me want the bigger one. And then aside from that, I just got a new Bunting guitar. Have you guys heard of Bunting, the builder out of Israel?
No, I don't think I have.
Oh, man. It's the nicest guitar I've ever played. It's crazy. You guys should check him out and have him on the show or something.
Huh. What style of guitar is it?
So the one I grabbed, it's his Jackal S model. So it's kind of like... It's inspired by a Strat, but he kind of came up with a marriage between like a Strat and I don't want to say a Les Paul, but like an older like set neck style. So it's a Strat body with a Strat scale length and the trem system, but it's a set neck into a solid spruce body. So his whole thing is like really fine wood selection. They use these super beautiful Bosnian flame maple necks, so they're like violin necks. And the spruce he uses is aged and really light, so the whole thing weighs like 6 pounds.
Oh wow.
And I did triple Firebirds in it, and it's so cool. And his relic jobs are like, it's just so authentic.
That's super super cool. I think I'm seeing yours. No, I'm not. It's not on there. But I just went to the site, and I am following it, so I am aware. I just did not know, wasn't an off-the-cuff one. It's kind of an obscure one still. Yeah, I'll have to check that out.
People told me they were nice, and I was like, okay, cool. And then I was a little skeptical of getting a guitar without playing it first, but enough people that I trust told me they were great, and it came and just blew away. It was, I'm still kind of in love with it. That's why I was talking about it so much.
That's fantastic. I love that. In my music world this week.
How about you, Tony?
Well, I was just about to ask you to ask me, but...
oops, forgot.
Yeah, no, we had a rare midweek gig last night. It was on a Wednesday. Not necessarily an ideal situation. And it was also, 100 degrees. And it was also all the power, like all in the way to the... to the club, like all the power was out everywhere, and I was like, this is not gonna fly. They had some power, but it was like, cash bar and the whole nine yards, and so whatever, it was fine.
Did they have air conditioning?
Barely.
Ooh.
It was hot. Oh my goodness. Very, very hot. Very hot. Very hot. Yeah. Anybody know what movie that's from? Answer to yourself. Okay. Anyways, so it was, but the reason that we did it is because there's this really great band called Teenage Mortgage, that was out, from DC. They're touring. So if you happen to be able to catch them, they're still kind of doing Midwest area up into Chicago and who knows where else. They're a duo and they're doing like some really cool stuff. And, anytime that we get asked to play with bands out of town, like that's usually a great experience to get new audience and meet new people and stuff. And then we played with our very fabulous friends, the Howling Commandos, who are a force. The Columbus music scene is pretty sweet, man. I dig it. Anyways, so that was super duper fun, and my ears were just absolutely ringing because we just went for it and turned it up like crazy, and it was great.
Nice.
Yes, indeed. And before I did that, I was visiting my friend Chase Gullett, and we were talking about the V that I have.
Yes.
And Tony, I think we're going to have to make a new pick guard.
Did he break it?
No, I've got new ideas.
I hate when you have ideas.
It's going to be cool, though.
It means more work for
me.
We
might be kind of taking it to a single pickup. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, that's easy enough
might
to
be fun. Really having fun with the V. And, you know, it just feels like super rock and roll, man. It's great.
Yeah.
Let's get on with the show. Charles Henry. Silk Tone Amps. You have a lot going on. And that is why we decided to kind of connect and do another episode. We typically don't do them as close, although that was 50 episodes ago, 47 episodes.
47.
Ago. Yeah, but it seems like yesterday. It seems like I was at the UPS office going, they're going to charge me how many dollars to ship this thing back to you?
But when you think about it, 47 episodes.
That's a lot of episodes.
That's almost a full year ago.
It almost
yeah,
is
it was a
full year.
It does seem way, it seems like I just did it.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyways, it's a good thing you didn't, because all the things that we're going to talk about wouldn't be occurring.
Yeah.
So let's, why don't you catch us up? I know that we'll get to the, should we lead off with the thing that we have in our hands? Why don't we do that? Let's do that.
I like that idea. Sure.
So Charles Henry sent out this lovely Silk Tone Fuzz pedal and did a little unboxing there, and gonna do a 1 minute wonder on it. Tony and I have each had a chance to play with it, and using multiple amps, I might add.
Yes,
so we've got lots to talk about, and I'm sure everyone has seen this out there. It has a little digital readout at the bottom, and it says Silk Tone across the top, and it's or in the middle, and it's black. And that's about as good a description as I can give right now.
None more black.
So let's start with the origin of this pedal. Walk us through that, and then we'll get into what it does and what we liked and all that stuff.
Sure. So I've been wanting to make pedals since before amplifiers, really. But I just figured it'd be better to start with amps. And I knew I wanted to do a fuzz just because that's my favorite. It'll be hard for me not to do like five more fuzzes. So, cause I just like it so much. So when I started designing the Silk Tone Fuzz, I played with a few different circuits and kind of landed on, some different ideas, but my favorite thing, I kept coming back to the fuzz face circuit, like the original, like Tone Bender 1.5 and fuzz face topology, but only the germanium stuff. So I have a huge preference for germanium transistors in that circuit. And as I was messing with it, I of course like kept running into all the normal problems that pop up with germanium fuzz faces. Like the big aha moment for the bias meter was, I was trying to fine tune and tweak the circuit because originally the fuzz was just going to be kind of my own take on a normal fuzz. But, I'm not sure how familiar you guys are with how the like temperature sensitivity of the germanium transistors works.
Yes.
Right.
Well, you realize we do go from like 0 to 100 in our year. So we are
sometimes below zero.
Yes.
Right. Exactly. So I'll also speak to those who might not know. So with germanium transistors, they sound incredibly better in my opinion, but when I'm working in my shop at 70 degrees, I bias up the transistors to be in their, you know, their sweet spot of basically like mid bias 4.5 volts. And they sound great at 70 degrees. Everything sounds good. Mm-hmm. Every pedal I do will be consistent, sound the same, but I was tweaking a pedal to kind of fine tune it. And I would come out to my shop the next morning and it'd be like 55 or 60 degrees and sound like crap. And yeah. I, you know, every tech deals with this or builder, and I'd have to either wait for the temperature to come up or adjust the bias on it. And I would often use my voltmeter to, you know, check things out and set the bias. And it clicked to me one day, like, oh crap. Like, what if I could just include a voltmeter in the pedal so that everyone can just adjust it where they want, like I'm doing right now, and kind of tweak it where they like it. So, that everything kind of just blew up at that point. And I started researching, just diving super deep into how to get a voltmeter on this thing, and not without ruining the sound. Cause normally when you add a bunch of digital devices to an analog circuit, if you don't do it in the right way, it's just going to be noisy and weird.
Yeah.
But I found a really good way to do it. And it all came together a lot faster than I thought it would, and just found like a really good enclosure. So the hardest thing for me, cause I was making my own enclosures at the time, it's really hard to drill a square hole a square hole in aluminum. So I said, man, this is not going to work out. So I found like a really good enclosure manufacturer and someone who could do all the printing for me. And we got that little meter in there to kind of button right up to the case. And it kind of just came to life from there. So
it's super cool.
Yeah, so now you can adjust the bias regardless of where the temperature is. So, you know, if you're playing a 70 degree show one night and you like it at 4.5 volts, right where it's in its sweet spot, you can play it there all night. And then if you go to a show the next day that's 95 degrees out or 30 degrees out or whatever, I don't know if anyone's playing in that cold weather, but you can just, the pedal will shift on its own. Like if you take it, if you have it set at 4.5 and you take it to a hotter room, it will read at like 6.5 or wherever the voltage bumps up to because of the temperature increase. It doesn't happen immediately, of course, but find its way. If you were sitting there for a few hours while you were setting up and doing all that, it's going to raise itself. So then you just adjust it immediately right back down to where you like it, 4.5 volts, and you're at the sweet spot again. Or if you want to be at 1 volt and have that super gated spitty thing, you could do that too. Or, you know, get it fatter up at 7 or wherever, right, wherever you like it.
So you just described a lot of awesome adjectives that we use to describe fuzz. Can you, for those that may not be as aware of the term bias and what that's actually doing?
So when you set the bias, you're setting the voltage that the transistors sit at. So they both sit at a different voltage there because there's two transistors in the circuit. Now,
are those in parallel or are those in series?
No, they're just cascaded, so they're in series. And that's why it's so finicky, is because they're directly coupled in the fuzz face. So when the temperature of the first one changes or the bias of the first one, it throws the second one way out of whack. Yeah. So but it's the second transistor that most people mess with the bias with. And so if you have 9 volts coming in the pedal, the transistor has 9 volts across it. And on the input of the transistor, you want to have it about midway for it to sound its best. So about 4.5 volts. Mm-hmm. Or no, not the input, but just how much voltage the transistor swings. So you want to have it at about 4.5 volts. So if you bias it to 4.5 volts, it means the transistor is seeing 4.5 volts. So when you go down to 1 volt, you're putting the transistor in cutoff and
or starving it.
Yeah. Right. And it's going to only let in a signal like beyond a certain level. So it's going to gate everything else. And the bias of the transistor.
Let me just hit stop right there just for a second. Yeah, yeah. So letting it in would be like, if you're barely, you know, if you're just playing real soft, it's not going to register as a strong enough signal. If you hit it real hard, it'll register and that will get through. So that's where you get that, like, they're like super, super, what we're calling spitty.
Yeah. Right.
But that's, yeah, that's a fair way to explain that. And I guess, you know, layman's or my terms.
Right. I'm trying to juggle like technical terms with sound descriptions, and yeah, I'm just confusing myself also. So I imagine everyone is confused too, but yeah, the bias changes the way the transistors react to the signal you put into it. Right. So if you have it in the sweet spot, it's going to be like a pure sine wave when it's cleaner. So it'll be like more symmetrical clipping. And it, as you gate it, it's going to, or as you adjust the bias closer to 1 volt or 8 volts, it's going to clip the signal in a way different way. So it's just, you're just adjusting the way it distorts and kind of fuzzes, you right know. So,
and if you goose it all the way, what's going to happen?
It'll still gate it just in on the other side of the sine wave. So you get a much fatter tone out of it.
Uh-huh.
And I like that setting a lot, like pushing it beyond like 8 volts on the meter.
Yeah.
You get this really fat tone, but it still does this really cool gated thing. Right. I call that one like, it's like sticky. I don't know.
Yeah, I can get that. Yeah. Now, yeah, what fuzz is this based off of?
The fuzz face and tone bender 1.5, because that's where the fuzz face came from, was the like 1.5 version of the tone bender.
Right. Okay.
Now, the one thing I really liked on this, in addition, I like the LED readout too, but you included a knob that you call cleanup, which, yeah, I found very useful.
Yeah.
I, you know, I'm not a, I'll go on the record again as saying I'm not a huge fan of fuzzes, but I found that using that cleanup knob, I was able to get more of a, like an overdrive kind of a sound out of the pedal, I think.
Yeah. So the cleanup knob, it kind of simulates the guitar volume. So if you plug your guitar straight in and roll your volume back, it kind of sets the maximum fuzz, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, there's a pickup simulator circuit in the on the input of the fuzz. So just to mimic the interaction with the guitar. That way you can put the pedal, because that's the other problem with those fuzz faces, is they don't work right after buffered pedals usually. You have to plug a guitar straight into them or else they squeal and sound nasty.
Mm-hmm.
So I put the pickup simulator circuit in it. So you could put it after any other buffered pedal, but then also still have the function of rolling your guitar volume back to get those really nice cleans. Because half the time I'm using my fuzz, I'm using it as like a boost, you know, like just to get that germanium transistor flavor, mm-hmm, but just like really light overdrive. And it just colors it up like really nice. Or yeah, you can push it a little bit and get, yeah, just mild to medium drive tones.
Now, is this going to work well? Is this work best by its on its own, or can people like, you know, stack this with like an overdrive after it or something?
Oh yeah, no, it'll work fine with anything else. I often use it, not so much with, well, yeah, maybe with a boost after it or something, but I like throwing a wah in front of it.
Oh, okay.
Even if I'm not using the wah actively and like, you know, doing filter sweeps, but I'll put the wah in and just use it as a filter control and like usually cock it all the way back, and then you just get this really cool scoopy tone out of it.
Mm.
But other fuzz faces, you throw it after a wah and it just squeals like a maniac. So
right. Well, let's talk about this other little dude. Oh, by the way, if you want, you can have, I'm going to give this to you. All right. Now, if you want to use it, you can use it. But if you changed it to bias-o-meter, I mean,
bias-o-meter.
You got me. That it's like, I don't even care if it's good or bad. I like it.
Yeah.
But you've got a classic and a raw toggle, which is also a mini toggle, which I love mini toggles. So yeah, you're hitting all the marks, man. Tell us about that.
So the classic mode, it it keeps the bias ratio between the two transistors the same as the classic like fuzz face circuit. And all the bass filtering is the same as the classic circuit. So it's more like you would expect out of a really good germanium fuzz face. Mm-hmm. When you go down into the raw mode, I kind of borrowed that concept from the amps with the raw silk mode. Uh-huh. From my two amps that it's been a kind of continuing feature on. So the raw mode, you bump it down and it raises the headroom of the bias so you can, and it raises the output volume quite a bit. So you get a lot more output out of them and it removes all the bass filtering. So it's just a wide open signal. So you can get just way larger and nastier.
Awesome. So are you going to get more bass out of that? Or are you saying like the headroom kind of kills that?
No, you'll get more. You'll get a lot more bass out of it.
Gotcha. Okay. I'm asking like the questions that someone else might be asking. Enough. I mean, I've already played with it, but you know, that's what a host does, right? That's what it said at host school. No. I'm still attending. So this was a lot of fun to play with. There are so many variables because I tell you, like when someone says, "Oh, it's a fuzz face" or something, you're like, "All right, I know pretty much all of the sounds that I'm going to be able to get from this." I'm speaking very generally right now. Okay.
Right.
But you took something that people already love and are very familiar with, and really did something very unique with this, with so many different features. And I mean, you've like quadrupled the amount of the range of sounds that you can get out of this. And it's just really, really well done, man.
Thank you. Yeah, that's awesome. That's kind of what we were going for. And it's kind of been a theme around here. It's just like we really like our stuff to be versatile, but not hard to use, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that.
Your amp philosophy totally came through in this.
Yeah, thank you. Right on. I'm glad because that's exactly what I was going for. So what are you guys' favorite settings on it so far?
So I think, let me see the pedal here, Todd. I can tell you. So I had volume up probably at 3 o'clock. I had fuzz probably at 11 o'clock. And I think clean up, I had that down probably also around 10 or 11 o'clock.
Oh, okay.
And I think in terms of the bias, I was somewhere around 4 or 5. So somewhere in the middle of the spectrum.
I feel like I was sitting at like 5.6.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I tried it.
Just fattens it up a little. Yeah.
I tried it all the way down and I, you know, it got real, real farty and buzzy.
Yeah.
And, mm-hmm. And then, so as I brought
then you couldn't tell who was driving.
but that seemed to work. Those settings worked pretty well. And I was going into a Vox AC15.
Yeah. Let's talk about that right now. Cause like, as I was telling, Charles, when we talked on the phone earlier, you were going into one amp. I was, you know, so we went through a Marshall.
Yep.
We went through a Supro and we went through a Vox.
Right.
So I think that was when, at least Charles, when you and I were talking, that seemed to really pique your interest because, you know, obviously we get a range of all kinds of things. So,
yeah.
Now, what are you basically playing it through?
Man. I don't remember the last time I had an amp that wasn't mine hooked up in here. I've done it through a few little Fender things. I've played it at, when I went to Portland, I played it through a couple friends' amps, some Benson amps and, mm-hmm. and my friend Brian Sowers, I played it through his and it interacted basically the same with all of them.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, yeah. I like using my Vox because of course I know what that sounds like without effect. And then, it tends to be maybe a little on the brighter side as most Voxes are, but it uh-huh. also takes pedals really nicely, and yeah. And so I get a pretty good idea of you know what the pedal is sounding like as opposed to what the amp is doing under extra pressure.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Cool.
So I had mine going into my Origin 50, and I also ran it through the Supro that I have, the Black Magic. And what I found was, and the Supro is already like, I feel like it's a much warmer, well, like rounder sound, you know, and so that made it like much fatter, like just more rounder. It exacerbated the roundness of that sound.
Yeah.
And when I went into the Marshall, the bass frequencies like really leapt out. Like I got clobbered by it. I kicked it off of raw and went, to classic. And that's where I was finding, I think my best tones out of that. And it was just interesting to hear the guitar react differently to, not only the two different amps, but you know, between the raw and the classic. And of course the biasometer there, it's official.
Yeah. A biasometer.
Biasometer.com.
Whoa.
Yeah. I just bought that. and it was I didn't have a favorite setting because I was too busy trying all the settings, frankly.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's one of the things that I'll be going back, and when I do the 1 minute wonder on it, which in case anybody doesn't know what the 1 minute wonder is, it's a minute long little demo that we do for pedals and such on Instagram. So check those out when we put them out. Usually I just let whatever is speaking to me do its thing. And so that's what will come out.
Yeah, that's cool. That's cool. You had a different experience with the Marshall letting so much bass through. That's probably why I didn't notice that drastic of a change, because most of my amps let tons of bass through. So
yeah,
that's cool that if your Supro is filtering a lot of bass out, then you would get a much more drastic change between the two modes.
Yeah. Well,
that's good to know.
Yeah. It's super fun. So, hey everybody, this is a really, really cool pedal. And, I don't want to limit it by saying, no, this is really cool, you should get it. But it's just cool because I like anything that allows me, a wide range. But to your point, Charles, I need to be able to do it like on the fly. It needs to feel natural. I want that range to come in a familiar and approachable way. And if I have to, you know, be flipping too many switches and thinking about, wait, the thing that I just moved, how did that affect the other nine things that this thing is doing? I
almost didn't even put a fuzz knob on it. I was going to just leave it dimed all the time. I was going to leave the volume because, you know, you want to set your output to unity.
Yeah.
And I was going to leave the cleanup control because it's really useful for simulating your guitar. But the fuzz knob, in my opinion, should just stay dimed all the time anyway. And then if you want to limit your kind of fuzz, just use the cleanup knob. But people are so used to the fuzz face and the way it works, I didn't want to take that out.
Yeah.
And I wanted something still familiar there. So it got to stay.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. And I think you were smart not to, well, this is just my opinion, so whatever the hell. But a lot of times when you see when people do takes on classics, such as the fuzz face, there's some sort of obvious nod to it, whether it's in the aesthetic or the name or something like that. And I kind of like that you didn't do that because it really makes it more its own thing, which it really is. You know, you start out with a circuit and it's like, okay, great. Thanks a lot. See you later. We're going to go do a whole bunch more to it.
Yeah, and that's kind of what the thinking was too, because that circuit has been done to death. I think every pedal builder has a fuzz face, some version of a fuzz face out there. And thinking of a way to make it unique without crazy aesthetics, it was tough. And I'm surprised that when the meter idea clicked to me, because the bias voltage it's been an issue for, you know, 60 years. And I was just surprised it hadn't been done yet.
Yeah.
I was like, there's no way. This is such a simple idea. There's no way someone hasn't come up with it. But,
well, I think there's, you know, there've been quite a few that have done like, you know, starving pedals or, you know, starving, adding starved switches and stuff, and trying to affect things like that, but not integrated in a way that makes sense in one unit. Yeah.
Yeah. So. They have, there's plenty of other pedals with bias knobs on their own, but the problem with those is when the temperature changes, that knob setting isn't true anymore. It's not, now it's different. So you can't set it. You can't go, oh, I like it at noon, because at 90 degrees, well, you're going to like it at 3 o'clock, you know,
right.
And at 40
degrees,
the
hotter
degrees,
it is, the less
like
bias
it.
You want, the colder it is, the more bias you want.
So the meter just made it so easy to read that and check it out. So yeah, it's crazy that nobody's done that yet, but.
Now, have you ever thought about maybe on the next run, putting this into a much larger circular, enclosure?
That would be really unique. Yeah.
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 No, maybe smaller though.
Oh yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
Well, let's move on to something else that we were talking about, which is the first reason that we had you on our show. You have this really fantastic and unique amp that you took a similar approach to. I think one thing I really appreciate you as a designer first and a builder second is that you're a need-driven designer.
Right.
And I really appreciate that. I find myself to be that kind of a creative as well. And that's not, you know, when you recognize something, you're like, I need this, but I don't have it. Well, how do I get it? Well, let's make it. You know, that's a fun revelation to have where you're like, this may not exist. Oh my gosh. That's fantastic. Right. Let's do it.
Yeah.
So anyways, that's what was one of the big things that we talked about when you first came on, because you approached the amp in a more unique way. And so can you give, for those who haven't heard it yet, and we're not doing a full-blown recap on it or anything, tell us the gist of the amp that you created, and then let's talk about the new things that you've done to it.
Sure. So the flagship amp, the Silk Tone amp, it's a 12 watt single ended bass circuit with a KT66 power tube. So there's a single KT66 power tube. When I say single ended, it's like, you know, think like Fender Champ, something like that, where it's just one power tube and you get the big class A sound out of it. But
it's a huge tube.
It's the massive. KT66, that's my favorite tube. So that I fell in love with that tube. I probably said this on the last episode, but after messing around with vintage JTM 45s and was like, what is going on here? I have to use this tube. So I threw it in a circuit that I like, because I really like single ended amps. And I wanted a little more power out of it, so I get the 12 watts instead of, you know, 5 or 6, like the smaller ones that are more available. And it has just a really, really rich reverb that sounds more like a plate than a spring, but it is a tube-driven spring reverb. And it was trying to, like a lot of people have tried to do, marry like the Fender tones and the Marshall tones, or the early ones anyway, the early Marshall tones. But it just became this unique thing that can, like we talked about earlier, really versatile. It can hit all those tones, but it has its own character because it's something completely new.
And incredibly simple in its approach as well.
Yeah. It's just a simple, volume, treble, mid, bass, and then a couple of reverb controls, and that's it. That was the first iteration, but I've updated it since then.
You had the Silk and the Raw at that time.
Oh yeah, yeah. I did have the chiffon mode is where you have the full control of the tone stack, and then you click it down to Raw Silk, and it completely bypasses the tone stack, and you get this huge gain boost. So there's no more filtering up from the tone stack. So it's kind of like the Raw mode on the fuzz, where whatever you put in, that's what you get out. And, it's just this huge gain boost out of it. And then the one I sent you, did it have the attenuator yet or no?
No.
Okay. So I've since added a standard attenuator on every model. You can switch from 12 watts down to half a watt. a lot of people were asking for like bedroom level amps and stuff like that. And I added this attenuator. The special thing about it is it's not like a power scaling control like a lot of amps these days, where you're actually reducing the voltage to the power tubes, because I don't like those because I don't think they sound that great, and it changes your headroom and where the amp breaks up. So if you're playing at full power on those amps and you're clean, and then you turn the power scaling way down, a lot of them will, now it's all dirty and broken up because you're overdriving the tubes. This one, it's a reactive attenuator after the transformer, but before the speaker. So it emulates the speaker. So even at the half watt mode, you have the exact same tone from 12 watts. It, in the room, it won't sound exactly the same because you're not moving air. So you're not getting hit by the bass and all that, of course. But like if you put mics up to it and record it, it's so hard to tell the difference between which one is which. So that was something important to me that I wanted to add on all of them. So we've done that. And then I've updated the aesthetic since then. I think it's much nicer now. Just the standard one. But I have to keep it fun too. Like it probably won't be the last standard aesthetic we do. It's just the standard right now. I kind of change it with, you know, the seasons and my mood and all that. So beyond that, the most important part is we found a new transformer winder that is doing completely hand wound custom stuff for us. So, I mentioned it before, my friend Brian Sauer is up in Portland, with Sauer Sound. He's been winding just the best transformers I've ever heard. I've tried all of them in this amp. A lot of the big well-known names like Mercury and all that everybody else uses. I tried all of those in this before I released it, and I didn't like them as much as the paper wound one we were using initially. But when I was introduced to Sauer Sound, we got a sample from him, and I wasn't really sure what to expect, because it's, when you look at the print, it's kind of built the same way that we had it before with the paper layer winding and all that, but just whatever he does to it is magic. I don't understand it completely, but they are just the best sounding transformers I've ever heard. And it kind of turned it into the amp that I always wanted to release the first time. And, you get more output out of it. There's more sweetness. It just opens up completely. And I'll never go back. All of our future amps will use those. So
that's a great find.
That was a big one for us. Yeah.
Now, is that just the output transformers, or are you using those for the power transformers as well?
The power transformers and output transformers. Okay, the output made a bigger difference for sure. But I'm the sure. power. So. Part of the reason we had to switch, and part of the reason I was considering trying something else anyway, because I was already satisfied with, it's not like I didn't like the ones before. They still sound great. But we signed on with a distributor, and our amp sales have been ramping up like crazy. We're kind of struggling to keep up right now, but we opened up sales overseas, so we're not in just the United States anymore. And we had to get a power transformer that could do the 240 volt, 50 hertz voltage. And the one we were using, they couldn't really redesign because it was already kind of at its limit. So I talked to him about that, and he was like, "Oh yeah, no problem. I'll do that, and it'll sound better than ever. You're gonna let me do an output too, right?" And I was like, "Oh." Yeah, I guess I'll try one. And it just completely took me by surprise and blew me away.
That's nice. Awesome, man. That's very cool.
I'm glad he's so cool too. Like, yeah. And it's been cool. Like beyond one of my favorite things about finding the transformers is Brian just as a person has been awesome. Like he goes so far beyond helping with just like giving you the transformer you asked for. He's so smart about this stuff, and he's so personable because he's a very small business. So he's not, you know, busy banging out 10,000 transformers a day. He is so interested in the design and what it's going into. He wants to know the sound you're after. He'll help you tweak designs and even other aspects of the amp if you want. He's like, oh, maybe this would be cool. And we've come up with so many cool ideas for future projects just through talking about transformers. We got a lot of cool stuff coming out too.
Are you using multi-tap transformers, or are you just winding them to the specific speaker load on the
outlet? Just to the specific speaker load. It was crazy. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I was wondering what you thought about, tappable transformers. And, you know, I know that most people, you know, if it's like a 4/8/16, they always recommend going with the 16 because that uses more of the transformer as opposed to tapping in the very, halfway and a quarter of the way in. Is that, do you feel that I know it so that, limits what you can plug into the amplifier, but if you're using the combo form, I guess it really doesn't matter.
So it totally, that makes a humongous difference. When you have it tapped 4/8/16, if you're talking about using it like and just switching them and seeing what sounds like what as a kind of a tone shifting thing, the way that works is the transformer reflects back at the power tube what a multiple of the impedance that the speaker is. So if you have an 8-ohm speaker and whatever the winding ratio of the transformer is, I don't know the exact specifics if I'm not looking at my math in front of me, but let's say the transformer has a winding ratio of like 25:1. So it will take, you put a load on the tube that it needs to see to power everything correctly, and it will step it down to expect an 8-ohm speaker. But really what happens is that 8-ohm speaker is the load, and it will reflect back 25 times squared whatever load the tube needs to see. So let's say 5 kilo-ohms, for instance, which is where a lot of like 6V6 and 6L6 lands. So the tube sees 5 kilo-ohms on its plate. That alters the power transfer and the distortion characteristics and all that. So if you took an amp that was expecting an 8-ohm speaker and put a 16 into it or plugged it into the 16-ohm jack, but still use that 8-ohm speaker, like in my combo amp, it would shift the load on the tube drastically. So you would get, in certain instances, you would get more power with more distortion, and like the bad distortion, not the kind of like overdrive distortion that you tweak when you're designing an amp, but just like when it's supposed to be clean, all the harmonic distortion content that should be minimal, it'll change that drastically. So then on the other side of things, if you go down, I think it's vice versa, but when you go down, you'll get way less power but less distortion and get this way sweeter sound. So that's one of the things we did with the output transformer is not using taps, but just using different winding ratios to find kind of the perfect load that the tube wanted to see.
Oh, okay.
And it's so crazy. He sent me a few prototypes, and the only difference in them was like on the secondary winding of the transformer, literally like one wind of wire. So there'll be like 300 winds on the secondary, but if you go one wind more, it'll see, the tube will see like 8 kilo-ohms. One wind less, it's seeing 7,500 kilo-ohms.
Wow.
It's literally one wind, and it made a very obvious difference.
Wow.
it kind of blew me away. Like, so we were able to really fine tune it in a way we never have been. And it turned out so good.
That's nice. And you're using primarily 8-ohm speakers in your cabinets, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. And if somebody wanted to run an extension cab or anything, I'm assuming you don't have a jack for that.
No, I used to have it, but it kind of changes the loading, like I said.
Yeah.
So because if you have an 8-ohm and then an extension jack and you plug another 8-ohm in, now the speakers are in parallel and it's 4 ohms, but you didn't change it to the 4 ohm jack, so it changes everything. So in the combo, I just leave it simple. In the heads, I was doing multiple taps, but I'll do anything by request. If someone wants an amp and says, hey, I need a 4, 8, and 16 because I never know where I'm going to play, then I'll give them a transformer with a 4, 8, and 16 tap, and it's no problem.
Okay.
That's sweet.
Yeah.
Look at that kind of service.
Hope that wasn't.
No, that's – no, it's actually – it's good to know because it does get kind of confusing. In fact, when Todd got his Marshall, we were trying to figure out a way to run the speaker. It's a combo in addition to an
extension cab.
Extension cab.
Yeah.
And there were a lot of jacks on the back, so we had to kind of try to figure it out and make sure that we weren't going to blow anything
we
up.
We were trying to do the combo and the extension the 212.
Cab. Yeah.
And it's just not possible.
Yeah, that they're not model does not handle that well.
Make it more.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can get close and use like patch cables and stuff or splitters, but it's best not to.
Yeah. No. I'm going to refrain. anyhow. Well, so anything, what's on the horizon for you?
So we're designing a few things that what can I talk about? We're going to release a smaller amp, I'll say. So I don't want to give much away, but it will be smaller. Much smaller.
I have an idea what you're going to do. Nanny.
So it'll be cool. But then I guess I should – the Astro wasn't out yet either when we talked last week, was it?
No, and I didn't know if you were avoiding that for any particular reason, like you're not going to make it anymore. But yeah, let's talk about the Astro.
No, I just kind of ramble and go on and it gets lost. So the Astro we launched in January, right? Or December? January, December. I don't know. You guys tell me. But
December.
December. Right.
Cool. Call it December. We launched that a little bit before the fuzz. So that one is very similar to the Silktone amp. It's the same cabinet, same speaker, same single-ended KT66 design, but it's like a bare-bones version. I wanted to make kind of the simplest amp I could. A lot of people like commented and asked me if I could do an amp like just a Silktone amp without reverb because they like to use their pedals and stuff for reverb. Mm-hmm. So I kind of wanted to answer that question. And so this one just has volume and a single tone control. The cool thing about the tone control is it's a tilt EQ. So when it's at noon, you have a flat EQ, kind of like raw silk mode in the other amp where it's just, you know, there's no filtering. It's just flat. It's not adjusting anything. And then as you turn the knob up clockwise, you get a treble boost and a bass cut at the same time. So it tilts. And if you go backwards the other way, below noon, it boosts the bass and cuts the treble at the same time. So you can get like anything in between. And then we have a tone switch on there too. Light mode, which is a big mid scoop to get like the more 60s American kind of tones. And then dense mode, which is just a like flat mids. So it's a lot thicker, a lot of really fat British tones out of it. And then we, of course, included raw silk mode where it bypasses the tone control. And it's just another huge gain boost with the no EQ on it.
And did you in that looking at the photo when you're telling me talking about this. Did you talk about the 12 watt, 5 watt switch?
The 12 watt and half a watt, attenuator to switch it. Yeah, that's on both amps now. So,
gotcha.
Yeah, you can do the full power 12 watt or switch it down to the half watt mode, which is a lot quieter. It's still surprisingly loud. You a lot of people would be blown away at how loud a half watt is.
Well, I think they need to get one to figure it out.
Yeah.
I like that because I think it's super duper gig friendly and very pedal friendly. And sometimes you just want to cut to the chase and, you know, let your board do the rest.
Yeah, it's cool. Even though it's a similar kind of circuit, taking that other stuff out changed everything, like with the circuit interacting with itself. So you get a little bit more nuance and a little bit more snappiness. It can sound a little more vintage as well at the same time. It's cool. I feel like they're different enough to.
And that's at a much different price range too.
Oh yeah, yeah. The Silk Tone amp is $24.99 stock, and the Astro is $15.99 right now.
Are you asking us?
No, I was I was thinking. I don't have anything in front of me, but yeah, I think it's $15.99. It might go up.
But yeah,
you didn't.
But get it while you're hot, everybody.
Yeah.
Well, cool, man. So you got things that you're tweaking things to make them better. You are expanding your range. You are doing much more volume. You've got actual employees. We heard it's all mandatory to have a mustache. Just a little bit weird, but you know, each to their own. I get it. I'm trying to have a thing, an ownable thing. Cool.
I have rentals they can use at the beginning of the day if they don't want to have a mustache all the time. They just come in, stick
grab
one on.
Grab your time card and a mustache and get on your way. Yes. Yeah. Well, cool. We really appreciate you hanging out and talking with us. And, you know, we love what you're doing and that you're, you know, finding a way to carve your own voice into the gear world and doing it in a really tasteful and approachable way. It's great.
Yeah, thanks. I appreciate it. It's fun to be back on, and it's always fun talking. So
awesome. Well, speaking of talking, we have more.
More talk.
Yes, we're going to hop in the El Camino. We're going to, since Jared is moving, we're going to do a donut on his front lawn.
Yeah.
And
All his stuff in the back of the El Camino.
Yes.
See how far we can throw
I'll be riding on one of his Marshall cabs that's in the back. yes, like a Bronco.
Yeah.
Anyways, Tony, take us to Would You Ratherville.
Yes, Todd, because at this point of the show, it's our favorite game that we love to play called Would You Rather?
Yes.
Yes. The soft jazz sounds of Would You Rather. This week's Would You Rather is brought to you by Todd's Brain.
What?
Todd's Brain.
Yes.
Thank God somebody has one here. So you just got your latest Christie's auction catalog.
Yes.
And turning to page 17, these are the celebrity-owned guitars that are on the auction block this week.
Okay.
Both of these guitars, strangely enough, are Billy Bow models.
That is weird.
I mean, it's hard to believe that two celebrities would have
right
Billy Bow guitars.
And that's just to be clear, that's not the square one.
No, not the square one.
This is the one that looks like a part of a car.
Yeah. Yeah, it's I think they called them Jupiters or they got known more as Billy Bows because Billy Gibbons started playing them in a nod to Bo Diddley.
Yes.
But these were not owned by either.
Oh.
Because Billy Bow 1 was owned by Tom Murphy, master guitar finisher.
For Gibson.
Now for Gibson, yes.
Yeah.
And on this particular one, this is his...
He's known for...
Relicking.
And?
And finish work and sunbursts.
That's right.
Which is what these circular fingers mean.
Yes.
In Todd's language. In his coaching.
Yeah.
So this particular Billy Bow...
Highly sought after finishes.
Yes. And one of the notes on the auction says that Tom regards this as the best sunburst he's ever done.
Ooh, okay, so that price just went way up.
Yep.
All right.
Now, here's the downside. And both of these have been modified by their owners.
Okay.
For better or for worse.
Uh-huh.
This one has beautiful, it looks, oh my God. I'm looking at it right now.
Yeah.
Gorgeous.
Yeah.
Like butter. But somebody, I don't think it was Tom, but somebody routed the body and made room for humbuckers. And in this case, They're EMG humbuckers.
Kurt Hammett got a hold of it.
And they've been glued in place with a glue that will never come
out. His rookie tech got a hold of it.
I mean, this is like super glue, epoxy times five. You're not getting these things out without destroying the guitar. Yeah.
EMGs, huh?
Yeah, and they're gooped in and EMGs, and they just look wrong. There's nothing you can do about it. But,
we're not saying the EMGs are like bad per se. It's just, you know.
I'll go on the record.
Well, I'm just saying, in particular, this one, maybe not so much.
Yeah, not a good match.
Yeah.
So that was Billy Bow 1. Billy Bow 2, this one was owned by none other than Zakk Wylde.
Oh, boy.
And what is Zakk known for, Todd?
Oh, the bullseye.
He paints bullseyes on everything.
Yeah.
So this one, it's
a Billy Bow with a bullseye?
Billy Bow with a bullseye. Oh,
that's like the worst hangover.
I think so. You don't want to stare at it for too long. You go blind. Jeez. But the upside, Zakk, in his infinite kindness, put a real set of original 1959 PAF humbuckers in.
Whoa. Wow. So we have polar opposites of value additions or subtractions.
Yeah, it's peaks and valleys.
Wow.
So again, the would you rather is which would you choose? It doesn't matter what it's going for because we got you covered.
Yeah.
It's coming out
It's going for a lot, but it's on our
It's coming out of the Guitar Knobs retirement fund.
Yeah. We're going to sell a few t-shirts and cover the cost.
So option one, Billy Bow. It's a beautiful, beautiful finish by Tom Murphy.
Oh, man, that's got to look gorgeous.
But it's got EMGs jammed into it that will never come out.
It doesn't have Floyd Rose on it now, does it?
No. Thankfully, that was going to be the other option.
All right.
Billy Bow number two, previously owned by Zakk Wylde, has his bullseye black and white paint scheme, but a nice pair of original 59 PAFs.
Okay.
Would you rather?
And you're pretty much shooting yourself in the foot if you buy one of these and then mess with it anymore.
Don't mess with it.
Yeah.
Forget about it.
You're going to lose whatever inherent value is there.
Yes, it's a celebrity guitar.
Okay, all right. Tanya, you go ahead, and then we'll check in with Charles.
Okay. Well, as I might have hinted at, I'm not a big fan of EMG pickups.
Okay.
And even though the Zakk Wylde paint scheme is probably a little bit too...
Zakk Wylde?
Zakk Wylde-ish for my taste. The PAFs in there, the original pickups, do intrigue me. So I think, I mean, obviously it's going to be a display piece anyhow, but this one, pretty much anyone will say, oh, that looks like a Zakk Wylde guitar. Plus it's got the PAFs in it. I'm going with Billy Bow 2.
Right. And if you left out in the woods and the termites got it, you'd still have a pair of PAFs.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Okay. All right. Let's see. Mr. Henry, what are you doing?
I'm right there with Tony. I just because of the PAFs alone, I'd have to go with those. I don't get along with the EMGs. Part of me wanted to go that way just because I have a bunch of other guitars with PAFs, but... So in this instance, is this the only guitar you get to have for the rest of your life, or is it?
No,
you have your other guitars.
You could have your other guitars too, but this is the one that you're going to really dig into the checkbook for.
Yeah, I'd go with the PAF just so when I did, even if it is kind of a showpiece, when I do grab it inevitably and play it, I want to get along with it. So
yeah,
there you go.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay,
Toddley.
As much as I like the idea of having like what an artisan considers his finest work, with that burst, the only thing anybody would be like, wow, like what, why, what's that? Why is that there? You know, so your showpiece would just be a piece of how do you want to say?
One of these things is not like the others.
Yeah. I have to go as much as I am. Don't want to. I think I'd go to the Zach with the PAFs.
There you go.
I thought somehow that the finishes was going to get Tony.
Well, I mean, I think obviously that was part of my decision, but ultimately, I just want, you know, if I did decide to play it, I wanted it to sound good.
Yep.
Yeah. Or to sound as I expect it to sound.
I get it.
And the EMGs just seem so out of place in a guitar that is this fine artistry and reliced and everything. And
yep.
To throw EMGs in it just seems weird.
Indeed.
Okay.
And thus is the Would You Rather.
And another Would You Rather has been cast upon the masses.
Yes. Well, we hope you enjoyed it. And if you don't, I hope a lot of people hate that because then they'll give us what they want to hear.
That's right.
So get your Would You Rathers into us, okay?
That's right.
All right. We need to thank a few people, and then we're going to say adios to our friend Charles.
That's right, Todd, because right now we have a very special group of people that we love to thank each and every week. These are our executive producers. Now, it's very easy to become an executive producer. You go over to patreon.com/theguitarknobs and check out a couple different levels that you can become a patron, a sponsor, an executive producer of this very podcast. There's some great thank you gifts that you get for being part of that. But there's one thing more as an executive producer. Todd, what is that?
You get to have your name read on the thing.
What? What? I thought Jared was not here.
No, I'm here.
Oh, he's here.
I'm just been eating some chicken in the back.
Raw chicken. So, special thanks to these executive producers. Moon Guitars, Vader and Pedals, Drew Lopez, John Halverson, Rick Calhoun, Trevor Gunberg, Elad Mizrahi, Mikey D, Richard Kendall, Mark Garten, Matt Hart, James White, Justin Jones, Anthony Gemolero, Bill Gola Guitars. He should know a thing or two. He's posted some semi-hollow.
Oh, man, he's
Billy
been posting
Bose.
Some beautiful stuff.
That's right. John Esterly, Anthony Lathrop, Stefan Lamb, Michael Senchuk, Ken Sayers, Doug Christ, Darren Gregory, John Anglin, Tom Brazen, Rusty Sneeden, Ralph Gottschalk from Wonderful Audio Technology. What? David Poe, Don Kloss, Gregory Randall, Brett Hogarth, Eric Hemmer, and new this week, all the way from Wales, Stuart George.
Excellent. Welcome.
How do you say it? Is it Cumra?
Cumre.
Cumre. Cumre.
That's just Wales.
That's Wales.
That's not like hello.
Cumre, Cumre. Wales, Wales.
Yes, anyways. Okay.
We'll stop interrupting, Todd, because there's another level of executive producers. We call them our grand poobahs. These sponsors, patrons, get to wear a fez upon their head. And they have to do it while listening to the podcast. So we have cameras. We're watching you, grand poobahs. Their cameras are in the fezes. So special, special, special thanks to these grand poobahs, Tommy Manasco, Ricardo Igareda, David Kaminga, Brandon Wound Pickups, Hex Matos, Michio Murakishi, Bob Crouch, Jack Cadian, Sam Jett, Tyler Rines, LSJ Music Company, John Williams, James Pennington, Adam Johnson, Steve Keys, Cody Foster, Science of Sound, Brian Robison, Jonathan Jurisic from 12th Hour Devices. A broken clock is cracked twice a day. Corey Nigro, Michael Van Zant, Tim Nowak, Jonathan Daly, Martin Cliff, Sean S. and Eddie Serratos. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you all indeed so much. You truly can't imagine how much you help us out. Well, actually, you can, and that's why you chose to be supporters. So if you like what we're doing, you want to help us keep doing it, and you know, and whatever other nice things you happen to think, then be a supporter. We'd love to have you read your name off and get you some sweet rewards. I have more giveaways coming up, too. Yes, I've got several of them.
What?
Yes, indeed, to our patrons.
What?
Yeah.
Tell me.
Well, I'm no.
Oh.
Yeah, you'll find out. Anyways, we need to say a
you get a silk tone amp. You get a silk tone amp. You get a silk tone amp. No, not that good, huh?
Yes. The opinions expressed by Tanya Blonsky are not reflected by the advisors of the Guitar Knobs. I would love to do that, but that is not realistic. Anyways, speaking of silk tone amps, we need to thank Mr. Charles Henry for coming on the show again. Thank you so much, Charles.
Yeah, thank you guys.
You are welcome. All right. Where can people find the things that you make for them?
Silktone.org or one of our many dealers around the States and now worldwide. We have a dealer page if you want to go try one out. We need to update it. We'll get it done before this airs. And I'm always posting on Instagram if you want to follow kind of the new builds we're doing, little teasers for new stuff and anything like that.
Nice. Awesome. And Tanya, I saw you just I noticed on one of your IG feeds that you have some go into Anderton's in the UK.
Yeah, we just sent two out. They just left Monday. So it's Thursday now. So they should be arriving there beginning of next week. That'll be really cool. I hope they do a video or something.
I'm sure they will.
Awesome. Yeah. That'll be good.
Get Pete to do one. He's so good. Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
All right. Tanya,
go over to pickguardian.com. Check out some of the things that I do, I make, and shoot me an email. Let me know what you're trying to do or what you need, and I will. I'll just make it happen, and I'll take good care of you along the way.
Brilliant. You can send me an email at Todd at the Guitar Knobs. I had to think about that for a second. I set my app with a bad preposition.
Todd The podcast guy IG.
Todd at theguitarknobs.com. You can also direct mail me and by way of me, the rest of our crew here at Guitar Knobs on Instagram. We would love to hear from you. Share us your thoughts, your hopes, your dreams, and all that good stuff.
And your guilty pleasures.
And your would you rathers. Yes. So, everybody, have a fantastic guitar week out there, and subscribe!
Oh, yeah!
Yeah, I require a mustache on all my guys.
Oh, my gosh.
Is it... Here, you guys make noise here, now on purpose. Is it still super loud?
Josie's on a vacation ball! Not you, Todd. He's talking to his guys.
Oh, dang it. Damn it. Any questions, any comments? Have you gone to the bathroom? Do you need a drink?
I think I'm good. I did all that.
All at the same time?
Bloody hell. This is golden material.
I thought I was recording it.
All the nuggets. All the nuggets.
This is hard. It's really hard. I knew I had something.
What?
It's the, it's this. No, wait.
No.
It is this.
What?
But it's different.
What is it? Is there extra pay for extra mustache hair? I don't know. Cymru.
Yeah. That's Welsh for Wales.
Oh, from Cymru.
Yeah.
Also known as Wales.
Yes, exactly.
Tom Murphy, you mean?
Yeah. What'd I say?
Tom McCarthy.
Yeah, sure. That's his brother.
No, it's not.
And he that's pretty funny. They're both named Tom, but they have different last names. Okay. All the good stuff.
You missed it all, Todd.
Can I say it again? Josie's on a vacation far away.
Can we staple their fingers to the workboard? Pen.
I'm working on it.
Pen.
I'm working on it.
I think we've talked about this.
Just quit.
You're fired.
You're all fired.
Quit hammering trash cans.
No
over there.
Christmas packages for you.
And leave the mustache at the door.
Well, that's it for these knobs. Please visit our Patreon page at patreon.com/theguitarknobs. Visit our website at theguitarknobs.com for all of our past episodes, Four on the Floor blog, and other good stuff. You can connect with us on social too at our Facebook page and share your gear and stories on our Facebook group. Also, be sure to check out our Instagram at guitarknobs. Catch you next time.